To help prepare our minds for Jeff's lesson this morning, I'll be reading from the third chapter of James, verses 5 through 10. So also the tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts of great things. See how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity, the tongue set among our members as that which defiles the entire body and sets on fire the course of our life and is set on fire by hell. For every species of beasts and birds, of reptiles and creatures of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by the human race. But no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil and full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come both blessings and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be this way.
Good morning. It's truly a blessing to be able to be given the opportunity to present a portion of God's Word. I thank once again the elders for this opportunity, and such a great crowd. This is awesome. So I appreciate the reading, Austin. Appreciate that, sir. Very good job. And Trace's prayer. So I hope it works, that I have ready recollection of that. So if you have watched any amount of TV whatsoever, especially Law and Order or any of these other TV shows for police and stuff like that, you've heard the police say you have the right to remain silent and so forth. So I'm going to attempt to make a connection here with God's Word. This is a copy of the card that law enforcement are required to carry with them. And the first one, you have the right to remain silent. Anything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law, and so forth. A lot of people think of, well, this is the Miranda rights. Well, actually, there's a difference between Miranda rights and Miranda warning. Miranda rights are those rights granted to all U.S. citizens by the U.S. Supreme Court as of November 4th, 1966, prior to interrogation by law enforcement for a suspected crime. That's the Miranda rights. The Miranda warning is what I just showed you. That's the law enforcement advisement of those rights before lawful interrogation of a suspected crimes. Now, a little bit of origin behind the Miranda rights is based on Ernesto Miranda. He was arrested for kidnapping, some other sordid, vile things. And what it was is he was interrogated for about 2 hours by law enforcement without the benefit of legal counsel, in which during that interrogation he confessed to his crimes and even signed a confession. Well, his confession was the entire case, basically, of the law enforcement, and he was found guilty. But as if a lot of times you see these lawyers, they'll see an opportunity. And so some lawyer, very I don't remember his name, but he stepped forward and he appealed, and it got all the way to the Supreme Court, indicating that Ernesto did not, his rights were violated. He did not have the right for, or reminded the right that he had for legal counsel. Well, the Supreme Court agreed, and his rights were violated. And as a result, the Miranda warning was the outcome. And so all law enforcement, very shortly after that, they were issued these cards and they had to carry them with them. And if they do not make sure that those rights are made known to an individual, then the arrest can be nullified. But Miranda was retried and found guilty again, and it wasn't considered double jeopardy. Because the first one was basically nullified, and his ex-girlfriend gave testimony against him. So he was found guilty. Now, what is the purpose of the Miranda warning? It's intended to prevent self-incrimination. All too often, we voluntarily waive our right to remain silent. Now, some of the sayings about remaining silent. You've probably heard this one before. It's better to remain silent to be thought a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. Now, the true writer or origin of this one is unknown. It's thought to be either President Lincoln or Mark Twain. Either, it's a good saying, and it makes perfect sense. It comes kind of from the Bible, though, Proverbs 17 or 28. Even a fool, when he keeps silent, is considered wise. When he closes his lips, he is considered prudent. Now, I don't really like this next individual that says this saying, but it is quite funny. He said, I had the right to remain silent, I just didn't have the ability. And that's a lot of times what we end up having, is we have the right to do it, but we don't, in fact, remain silent. Now, if we're going to talk about speech and the tongue and such, let's learn a little bit about it. Now, there's three distinct areas of the tongue. The tip, the dorsal, which is the top side, and the ventral, which is the bottom side. Development of the tongue begins in the fourth week of gestation, development of the child. It has eight muscles. The extrinsic muscles helps the tongue change positions, and the intrinsic muscles changes the tongue shape. This amazing little thing, which of course we all know, just happened to come out of the explosion of, No, it didn't. God created all this, just like the very good class we just had. It has many, many functions. Of course, taste. It enables us to taste foods. I read something about it is thought that some people have super taste buds, which, you know, enables them to do, you know, like taste different things and make sure that the cooking of it is right. It aids in chewing, and I thought this was interesting, but if anybody has ever experienced eating a peanut butter sandwich and the peanut butter gets stuck on the top, how do you get that out other than being gross and reaching up there and pulling it down? Your tongue pulls it down. So yeah, it aids in chewing, or mastication is the formal word is. It aids in swallowing. It aids in cleaning of the teeth. It's like when you're eating broccoli and somebody goes, oh, you got something, like you rake it across there to clean. And of course, it is how we speak. It's without these intrinsic and extrinsic muscles in this one function, or this one part of our body, it enables us to speak. In fact, without the tongue, it would be impossible to form certain words. You can say things, but you can't do it all the way. It enables one to express themselves. Raspberries, or as young lady coming in, I pulled in this morning. She went, so I was like, oh, okay, you know, that's fine. I'll get you back there. So, but yeah, it enables us to express ourselves with the tongue. Okay, the tongue, obviously, just like everything else, can be used for good or for bad. And we're gonna delve into that this morning, okay? And James, from the reading, gives us a warning. But no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil and full of poison, okay? But just remember, the tongue is only a function. It is only a part of the body. What's behind that is our brain that tells the tongue what to do. So actually, we need to tame the mind in front of that. Bad things that the tongue and speech can do. And I'm going to have a lot of scripture on this one. And because in some things when you give a lesson, there's not a whole lot of scripture maybe that is given in God's Word. This subject has a plethora of scripture in the Bible about it, and we're going to delve into many of them. Psalms chapter 10 and verse 7. His mouth is full of curses and deceit and oppression. Under his tongue is mischief and wickedness. That's some of the bad things the tongue can do. Also in Psalms in chapter 64 and verse 3. Who has sharpened their tongue like a sword? They aimed bitter speech as their arrow. Now when I was preparing for this, I was thinking, a lot of people, you know, they say that when you say something, it's like an arrow. You know, once it's released, you can't pull it back. I would submit that the tongue and saying something is more like radiation, okay? Because the arrow is only going to hit one particular target, whereas radiation spreads, okay? When you say or communicate something that is not helpful, it has an effect that can spread to more than just the individual, especially with the onset of social media and such like that. Continuing on in Jeremiah chapter 9 and verse 5, everyone deceives his neighbor and does not speak the truth. They have taught their tongue to speak lies. They weary themselves committing iniquity. Now, I like this because it is talking about they have taught their tongue to speak lies. The tongue just doesn't, well, it does wag in there a little bit, but it's the mind, it's the thoughts behind that, which is what tells it what to do. Thankfully, we have control of that, but are we going to take control? In 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 13, now this is referring to the younger widows when Paul was given instructions to young Timothy. At the same time, they also learn to be idle as they go around from house to house, not merely idle, but also gossips and busybodies, talking about things not proper to mention. So this is just a small sampling of some of the things that the tongue can do that's on the downside or is bad for everybody. Let's talk about some of the good things that the tongue can do. In Deuteronomy 6, verses 6 and 7, these words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons and talk to them when you sit down in your house, when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. So the tongue can be used to instruct, in this case, instructing our children. Because we all know, whether you maybe admit it or not, but it is our duty and responsibility as parents to teach our children God's Word. Amen. So continuing on, what else can the good things the tongue can do? In Psalms 15 and 3, he does not slander with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor takes up a reproach against his friend. So this is describing something that we shouldn't do. Not slander with your tongue or talk evil of your neighbor. Still with Psalms 35 and 28, and my tongue shall declare your righteousness and your praise all day long. And this is David, and it is replete in the Psalms of how he is praising his Lord and our Lord. And this is one of the things that we should do with our tongue, is to sing praises and to just declare him all day long. And in Psalms 37 and 30, the mouth of the righteous utters wisdom, and his tongue speaks justice. So again, this is continuing on with what we should be doing with our tongue. Got a few more here in Psalm 71 and 24. My tongue will utter your righteousness all day long. Psalms 119, 172, the longest chapter in the book, in the Bible. Let my tongue sing of your word, for all your commandments are righteousness. In Acts, in the New Testament, 13 and 15, brethren, if you have any word of exhortation for the people, say it. So again, this is something that we should be doing constructively with our tongue, is exhort individuals, build them up, edify. But is that what we're actually doing with our tongue? Romans 14 and 11, for it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue will give praise to God. And closely followed that is in Philippians, pretty much the same thing. So, no matter if someone on earth ever praises God and confesses him, there will be one time that everyone will. And this, of course, is the best thing you can do with your tongue. Now, biblical guidance that I've found in the Bible about the tongue and speech. And again, the Bible is replete with these. Psalms 34 and 13, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. There's no gray area there. Psalms 39 and 1, I said, I will guard my ways. that I may not sin with my tongue. I will guard my mouth as with a muzzle while the wicked are in my presence. How often, when someone is being hurtful to you, is it so easy to lash out? And what he's saying here, David is saying, you need to guard your mouth, guard your tongue. It takes effort, folks. And coming from someone, and I told you before, when I give sermons, a lot of them is going to be things I'm struggling with. Okay, so anybody follows me on Facebook, I've kind of ratcheted it back quite a bit because I have a tendency to be outspoken, so I've been working on this. Proverbs 21 and 23, he who guards his mouth and tongue guards his soul from trouble. Boy, is that true, because how many times can you get yourself into trouble by letting that tongue waggle? Okay, and these are immeasurable things that we could do to prevent ourselves from further trouble. In Ephesians 4 and 29, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such as a word as is good for edification, according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. How many times do you hear somebody just being cranky and complaining about something? Do you want to be around that person? I'm thinking no, okay, because it brings you down, okay? It's like trying to think, what was that, Schleprock or something in the Flintstones? He was like, oh, I know, what is it? The donkey in Winnie the Pooh, Eeyore. Eeyore was just bringing everybody down, whoa. And it's like, why do you want to be around somebody like that? But the antithesis of this is if you have wholesome things to come out and edify, bring somebody, it brings people up. It's just a natural state. And it will give grace to those who listen to you. Ephesians 5:3-5. But immorality or any impurity or greed must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. And there must be no filthiness and silly talk or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving thanks. For this you know with certainty, that no immoral or impure person or covetous man who is an idolater has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. That is very easy when you're, especially in a workplace, for the younger crowd, being in school, okay, and you're around people and somebody says, hey, I got this funny story, and they start like that, and just being there and not walking away, you are basically saying you approve of it. And that's tough. I'm trying to think. I think Jim Williamson was talking about, he works as a construction, and the talk that goes on. That's tough, okay? And what message are you actually sending if, as a Christian, you're standing there and then, you have just what you've just agreed to it, okay? You didn't say a word thing, but you being there, okay? That's filthiness and silly talk or coarse jesting. This is pretty plain, folks. In Colossians 3, verses 8 through 10, but now you also put them all aside, anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive speech from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices. It's linking these back as evil practices. And have put on a new self who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. And that image, the one who created them, is God. Okay? God doesn't do that. God doesn't approve of that. So why would we do that as a renewed individual in Christ? Colossians 3 and verse 17. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Whatever you do in word or deed should be through the name of Jesus. So how can coarse jesting, how could telling a dirty joke, how could lashing out at somebody be in the way in the name of Jesus? It can't. It simply can't. Colossians 4 and 5 and 6, conduct yourself with wisdom toward outsiders, making the most of the opportunity. Let your speech always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you should respond to each person. This is tough, folks. We're talking like graduate level stuff here as far as taming this evil beast that each one of us has. It has the opportunity to build up, but it also has the opportunity to tear down. A few more. 1 Timothy 4, 11 and 12. Prescribe and teach those things. Let no one look down on your youthfulness. This is Paul talking to young Timothy. But rather in speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity, show yourself an example of those who believe. Folks, we can't be a good example and bring others to Jesus if our speech is any gray area there, okay? If there's at least a little bit of, you know, attacking or anything that's tearing someone down, it just can't be. In Titus 1 and 6 through 8, likewise urge the young man to be sensible. In all things, show yourself to be an example of good deeds, with purity and doctrine, dignified, sound in speech, which is beyond reproach, so that the opponent will be put to shame, having nothing bad to say about us. Sound in speech that is beyond reproach. That means it can't even be construed that we are saying or doing anything that is improper with our speech. And with speech, substitute the word communication. And nowadays, we have written communication, especially, and as I again mentioned, with the online ways to communicate. Biblical guidance. Now, I want to read this one. This is the scripture reading, but it has the full one. So if you wouldn't mind turning to James 3, 1 through 12. It was too much to put on the screen, and so I like to read it together with you. James 3, 1 through 12, and I'm reading from the New American Standard Version. Let not many of you become teachers, my brethren, knowing that as such we will incur a stricter judgment. For as we all stumble in many ways, if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body as well. Now, if we put the bits into the horse's mouth so that they will obey us, we direct their entire body as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so great and are driven by strong winds, are still directed by a very small rudder wherever the inclination of the pilot desires. So also the tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts of great things. See how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body and sets on fire the course of our life and is set on fire by hell. For every species of beasts and birds, of reptiles and creatures of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by the human race. But no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil and full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and our Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come both blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be this way. Does a fountain send out from the same opening both fresh and bitter water? Can a fig tree, my brethren, produce olives, or a vine produce figs? Nor can salt water produce fresh. Well, that's pretty plain. I once heard someone say, "Did you kiss your mama with that same mouth?" When they maybe have, I think I saw it on a movie once, but I've also heard this before, where somebody was being very vile and cursing, and then someone says, "Do you kiss your mama with that same mouth?" That's kind of the same comparison. How can we bless God on one hand and turn around and curse and be basically no different than the world? Folks, you can't do it. You can't do it. In 1 Peter 3, 8 and 9, to sum it up, I like how he does this. To sum it up, all of you be harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly kind-hearted, and humble in spirit, not returning evil for evil or insult for insult, but giving a blessing instead. For you were created for the very purpose that you might inherit a blessing. Well, that's pretty plain. Don't return evil for evil or insult for insult. And if anybody has been on social media any length of time, you see these feuds maybe goes on. And I even got into a feud myself. It was about what I thought was something that was defending the word, but the way I did it was not proper. Consequences of an unbridled tongue or speech. Proverbs 6, 16 through 19. There are six things which the Lord hates, yes, seven, which are an abomination to him. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises evil ways, feet that run rapidly to evil, a false witness who utters lies, and one who spreads strife among brothers. Three out of seven of those are talking about the tongue. And if one is involved in that, guess what? The Lord hates that. I don't think I want to be involved or included in an area that the Lord hates. Proverbs 18 and 21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. That's pretty plain too, isn't it? Death or life, on how it guides our destiny for the rest of eternity. James 1:26, if anyone thinks himself to be religious and yet does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is worthless. When I first remember seeing that way back when I was a boy, that was a revelation to me. And yet it's only been in my later years have I really tried my best to remember this, and that all too often I would be biting in my response or engaging in worthless talk that never needed to be. And this one, this is where the shoe falls. Matthew 12, 36 and 37. But I tell you that every careless word that people speak, they shall give an accounting for it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. If that doesn't put fear in you, I don't know what will. Because it makes me fearful. I work at home, and a lot of times I'm only surrounded by the pets. But I don't know if you all do it. I talk to myself all the time. But they say it's okay as long as you don't say, huh? So it doesn't matter who is there. It reminds me of that old saying, if a tree falls in the forest, nobody's there to hear it, doesn't make a sound. If you say something and nobody is around, it still matters, folks. It still matters because God is listening all the time. Every careless word that proceeds out of your mouth will be held against you, just like the Miranda talked about earlier. Anything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law. I wonder if this was possibly on the Chief Justice's mind when they wrote that. Maybe not. But the same is true. This is our Miranda warning. Anything we say can and will be used against us in the final judgment day. Luke 16 and 24, and he cried out and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus so that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool off my tongue, for I am in agony in this flame. Our tongue will be with us in some manner, apparently, and we will be in agony. And if we don't want to be in agony, folks, we need to heed the momentous amount of guidance that the Bible has given us on this subject. So in conclusion, Matthew 18, verses 8 and 9, if your hand or foot cause you to stumble, cut it off and throw it from you. It is better to enter life crippled and lame than to have two hands or two feet and be cast in eternal fire. If your eye cause you to stumble, pluck it out and throw it from you. It is better for you to enter life with one eye than to have two eyes and be cast into fiery hell. I'm not suggesting that you cut your tongue off, folks, and neither is this scripture right here. But it is telling you the weight of how important it is. What's really important? That we have our ability to say or whatever we want, or that we get to heaven? That should be our number one primary concern, is you yourself get to heaven and you help your family get to heaven. And of course, beyond that, of course, is to help others, okay? But that's, and again, they're not describing to poke your eye out or cut your tongue off. Now, I ask you, are you controlling all forms of your communication? I haven't been, and I've been working on it. Are or will you? Because I'm trying. I did something stupid. Well, I do something stupid all the time. But the other day, I was going to try to replace the light bulbs in one of the ceiling fans at home. And when I got up there, I was like, oh, man, these fan blades are disgusting. So I knew where I kept the duster. I kept the duster on a hutch in the kitchen. So that was the ceiling fan in the living room. And so I got the chair and I got up on there and got the duster. And when I'm getting down, I get too close to the ceiling fan that's running above the thing. And it whacks me something good. I'm telling you, I thought somebody hit me with a ball bat. And I was very proud of myself. I didn't say anything. Nothing proceeded out of my mouth. Probably because I was like, I knew I was going to have to report this. But I went, ooh, that's all I did. But I don't think I'll be held accountable for that. But just like one time Sam, which I can't imagine, Sam said he remembers one time where he hit his finger or something like that and maybe a bad word came out. Okay? That is easy to do. Okay? But how often do we say something when we don't have that much stimulus of getting hit in the head or smashing your finger? We say things so easily, folks. So I would say to you, we are called to be Christ-like. Before you say, write, email, or post anything, ask yourself, would this be something that Jesus would say or write? And if not, I would say, invoke your Miranda rights and remain silent. Folks, I hope that I have brought a portion of the word that what you could use. I know that I've been working on this so hard, and it's better just to get off Facebook if you can't keep your fingers from writing something you shouldn't. The reason why we're here, the reason why we're placed on this planet, was not for our own selves. Judgment Day is just that. It's announcing what our final resting place will be, basically. Okay, we're being judged right now. Okay, and we've got to make sure that we keep ourselves in check. Our communication is one of them that is so hard to do, and yet it's so important. It really is. So if you have any need, if you have not been baptized, I would urge you to please come at the appointed time to come forward and tell us what your need is. If you have strayed away and you need help, if you need work on something, you just want prayer, trust me, it helps. And thanks for that prayer, Trace, because I think it helped a little bit. So I appreciate that. Folks, whatever your need is, I would ask you if you would come while we stand and sing.